In this episode, we are going to talk about how you can support home office workers. Yep, off-the-job safety is something we talk a lot about, but we're going to talk about on-the-job safety at home. So we have a lot of remote workers nowadays, and they've set up home offices even to work some days in the office, some days at home, or full-time at home. Whatever the case may be, we want to start adding in some really relevant and realistic, achievable goals that workers can, you know, strive to meet at home in the home office, just like we would have at the workplace office. So that's what we're going to tackle. Hopefully you walk away with some great tips that you could share with your people in today's episode. All right, everybody, before we get into today's topic, I want to remind everybody, if your business is reopening after any kind of closure due to COVID, or you've continued to remain open, but you're struggling with how to mark your facilities to ensure physical distancing and relay important information about safety and health as it relates to COVID, I want you to go visit our friends over at Mighty Line Floor Tape. Mighty Line has some great products for you to mark your floors, whether it be the stand here, the 6 feet distancing, or just floor tape to denote lanes of travel. They have everything you need to mark your facility. So hit the link in the show notes, visit our friends at Mighty Line Floor Tape. They are incredible partners in safety. I can't thank them enough for their support of the podcast. Again, Mighty Line Tape for all of your floor marking needs. As promised, we are going to get into talking about remote workplace safety, home office safety, whatever you want to call it. It's basically workplace safety in the office at home for people. And we think about some obvious stuff, but you know, we're going to get into those, but we'll also talk about some things, I don't know, maybe some of us haven't thought about that I found interesting as I was talking with colleagues and researching a little bit, you know, putting this episode together. You know, this is something that we need to get really good at because I think remote work is going to stay in large part for a lot of different types of industries. And, you know, some of us, you know, have worked from home for years, right? And, you know, a decade actually or more. And this is something that we also take for granted. So I want to kind of remind those of you who, you know, already work at home about some things we may have overlooked, which would then give us a, you know, the ability to impart this information, this knowledge, these tips with other workers as well. So, you know, the first thing I want to make sure that we tackle is, you know, something again, a little more obvious, but ergonomics. You know, we can support these workers by, one, making sure that we've trained and educated them on, you know, what is ergonomics in general? Like just, you know, how do we define the term? What does it refer to? So we can just raise their awareness for, you know, what ergonomics is and how they themselves can kind of make that impact, right? But here are some things that we can help them with. We can provide some context when it comes to the home office. One is, where have you chosen to set up your workspace? One, you've got to have adequate lighting. You've got to watch glare. I know in my home office, just the way my house is positioned in the Midwest where the sun rises and sets, I've got, you know, two windows, one window on one side, one wall facing the east. I've got another window facing on the wall facing the south. I've even got a window across from me facing the north. So I don't have any west facing windows, but the sun tracks from the, you know, the east windows and cuts across my house at an angle and ends up in the afternoon coming, you know, through the window that's facing south in late afternoon that's right behind me. So, you know, I've got to watch glare, you know, having blinds or shades. You think it sounds silly, but when you've got a work monitor you're trying to look at or a video camera, a webcam, and that sun is filtered through the blinds and that hits that camera the right way, you know, it can cause some problems, cause some eye strain. Having the right space is more than just having room to set up a desk and work. you've got to look at things like proper lighting so that you reduce glare and eye strain. So desks are important. The desk you have at home probably was purchased because it looked good and it fit with the rest of your decor. Maybe you bought it because it was affordable and at the time you were only using it to maybe sit down and maybe do some bills, write a letter for those who still write letters. Maybe the kids would use it from time to time if you have school-age children, but it wasn't really purchased with all-day use in mind. So maybe it doesn't have enough workspace. You know, maybe you've got dual monitors or even a single monitor and a docking station with a laptop and you've got a little webcam and you have to set the speakers up and you've got your keyboard and you have to have the notepad to write notes and you've got to have space for your cup of coffee. And, you know, you might want to consider looking at the actual work surface. Is it the right height? Is your chair adjustable? So now we're moving to, you know, your chair and if your chair is providing enough support. So we want to make sure that we provide information for our workers that are working at home about, you know, how to size up a desk, how to make sure they have enough, you know, actual work surface available to them to do their job. We also want to consider what we're asking them to do at home. If they indeed are just working on a computer and a laptop and they have maybe a webcam, that's the extent of their work. They don't have a lot of physical stuff they have to do at home. We don't ship them, you know, materials that they have to assemble or inspect or something like that. You know, if it's just office work, that's not going to be as big of a consideration. But for workers who do those other things, where we are literally sending them things to check and inspect or whatever, we want to make sure that we support them the right way in having enough work, available workspace, work surface, okay? Make sure that you know, park this stuff. And a lot of folks don't have a separate, you know, room, a free room available, but make sure that we explain to them that you want to put this area in, you know, its own little space. Make sure that it's, you know, separate from busy areas of the home and it allows for focus during work hours and not for so much for productivity, but distractions in the home can lead to stress, anxiety. It could lead to issues at work, you know, with being productive, yes, but, you know, I'm thinking more along the lines of, you know, being able to focus on your task and not having errors and mistakes, but also the increased stress level. I know, God, I love my dog, but, you know, she's a maniac when, I don't know, the wind blows, leaves blow across the front porch, there's a squirrel. It doesn't matter. This dog all day will just go berserk at the window. And when I'm recording or I'm on a call for work or conference call, I mean, I think a lot of us have gotten a lot more, you know, forgiving and relaxed than we did before. I guess one of the benefits, if you could call it a benefit of a pandemic, is that a lot of us really, you know, got a little more relaxed, a little more casual. Thank goodness. I mean, you used to have to put on the little tie or the jacket, the old stuffy old conference call, you know, like you were in the boardroom days, that whole image. They're pretty much gone. You've got folks with a hoodie and a ball cap and you can hear a kid in the background and that's perfectly okay now. It's acceptable now. It's just make sure that any distractions like that aren't introducing any, you know, stress with the workers. So touch base with your workers that are remote. Make sure you're asking them from time to time, how are you feeling about working remote? Do you feel too isolated? What would make you feel a little more included in, you know, team activities, things like that? Because, you know, folks can feel pretty isolated. They worry about their job, if their work is even being valued because they don't get that interaction with their supervisor or coworkers from a day-to-day basis. So drop them a text or send them a chat message every once in a while, acknowledging that, you know, hey, you know, you're valued here and you're still producing great work for us. And I just want to let you know that we appreciate you. So, you know, that whole side of things of stress and distractions and being isolated from work, make sure that you focus on all that stuff as well. Make sure that they're getting up from time to time and moving. I know my watch yells at me. It tells me every 15 minutes I've got to stand. make sure that there's an opportunity for them to stand up and get up and reminders set up. Maybe encourage them to set calendar reminders if they have to get up and stretch. I know that once you plant yourself in that seat and you get to working, it's hours before you realize that you haven't even moved or gotten up. Whereas in the office, there's probably ample opportunity to get up, go to a meeting or something like that. And there's a lot of up down. So, you know, make sure that we're communicating and we're educating and we're increasing the awareness for our employees to make sure that they are getting up and moving to reduce muscle soreness, pain, posture issues with their posture, right? And not sitting or even standing for extended periods of time. Now, when it comes to, you know, getting up and moving and standing and sitting for long periods of time, if you have workers that, and I've talked to several that have workers in this position, that's why I'm going to mention it, they are working out of their garage. So they have materials that are sent to their house and they have to inspect them, right? There's certain, you know, lots of products that are pulled and sent, and then they're inspected and then documented and photographed. They're working in their garage and they have a little work table set up in their garage. They're standing on concrete all day. So are you providing the right ergonomic support, material support for those workers? You know, that's important. Are we reimbursing them for ergo mats, for footrests? If they have a tall desk at home and they have a tall chair, are we reimbursing them for that? Are we, you know, helping support them, material support for them, by the way? Are we materially supporting them in their work? So that is something you're going to want to look at, and don't just assume people know that, you know, they're not probably just not sitting on the couch or the lazy boy or the easy chair with their laptop and keyboard. Although I have seen some really interesting photos online of people working at home and they get kind of creative and they look comfortable. But by and large, I feel like folks are, you know, using a desk and using a chair and they're trying to make the best of it. You know, the kitchen table is another example. Those chairs were not meant to be sitting in all day. They're hard wooden chairs and they're just brutal. So make sure that we have some sort of reimbursement, that, you know, we tell them which chairs to look for. Maybe we pre-select four or five chairs. Everybody's different. One chair does not, you know, suit everybody's needs. So we're going to want to make sure we provide a variety of options. Maybe that's how you can do that to get them started on looking for chairs and footrests and things like that. But, you know, choosing the right space and setting up your desk properly and your chairs and your workspace, make sure that you provide materials, emails, infographics, pictures of examples, things like that. Have a contest. Say, hey, you know, do you have like an awesome work setup that is safe and comfortable? Make sure safe and comfortable is, you know, snap a photo. We're going to highlight folks that work from home, you know, if they feel comfortable doing that. Kind of make it fun. And again, you know, getting up and moving and making sure that they have this, you know, being able to stand up or sit down option as well. Posture is also something you're going to need to talk about. You could spend $5,000 on a chair and desk setup that is like the most ergonomically advanced and designed, and you could have somebody that slouches all day, right? And I've made this joke, and I've, you know, you could give me a milk crate, I would probably be fine. Because I know, like my watch, I set my watch up to remind me to get up and down. I'm going to mind my posture when I'm sitting down. I'm going to throw a pillow on that milk crate, or you know what I mean? So just because you've bought ergonomic chairs that are all adjustable and adjustable desk and everything like that doesn't mean that workers are going to, one, know how to adjust them properly and do so, or two, that they're not just letting their posture, you know, go, you know, throughout the day, which is completely normal. Okay. This isn't to, you know, blame the worker for ergonomics issues, but we have to help remind them and make sure that, you know, we're available. I've done this in the office space. I've like, hey, watch, you know, watch how long you're slouching there, buddy. You know, that's going to catch up with you. Stuff like that. Make sure that you send, you know, reminders out about posture, things like that, in weekly safety tips or on calls. Things like that, especially video calls. You could start off with a safety tip. Say, hey, everybody, I'd like to see everybody's smiling face on this video call. It's so good to see everybody. We're all sitting up straight. We're all leaning in. We're engaged, you know, that kind of stuff. you'll see people adjust themselves pretty quickly when you start mentioning those things. Also, I don't want to turn this whole episode into an ergonomics episode. You know, we'll tackle some of that in other episodes, but, you know, making sure you adjust the monitor height and that, you know, the top of the monitor is right around eye level, things like that. Those tips are all things you need to make sure you feed these remote workers so they can set this up properly, okay? Some other things to consider. This gets a little weird because we're talking about people's houses, but, you know, slips, trips, falls. People slip and fall. They're more so at home than they do at work, by the way. But common injuries from slips, trips, falls are relevant to the remote worker as they are to the office or even the industrial environment. So make sure that we remind workers gently, nicely to make sure they look around their workspace, this area they've set up. Make sure that they've, you know, got the floors cleared. And this is something I've heard from a couple folks that, you know, because of the window and the glare and the sun, and then when I'm on video calls, I don't want my entire house behind me, the entire living room. I've got to turn my desk around. Well, that means that I don't have access to a plug. It's got the cord has to come across the floor where I walk. Well, maybe you put on one side of the desk, you put an object like an end table and you run it under there so that I don't walk that way getting up. I can only enter the desk area from the other side. There's little tips like that that you can share with them to minimize, you know, running cords to the desk and be getting tripped or having kids or animals run across that, you know, would grab the cord and yank it off and pull your laptop off, especially during a call. That couldn't be good, right? So making sure that we eliminate, you know, slips, trips, falls, clear the floor of any obstacles, repair any loose carpeting. Do you have an area rug that is notorious for sliding or slipping? And now, because I'm working adjacent to this space and walking across it more than I normally would, maybe that's now an issue. So providing basic tips for workers and letting them kind of decide, like, okay, this is going to be a concern for me here in this area. Stairs, reminding them, hey, you've got that decorative basket at the bottom of your stairs where you're now going up and down the stairs a lot more now if you have an upstairs office area or something like that, making sure that you address those types of things to reduce slips, trips, and falls. Along those lines with, you know, cords being across walkways and, you know, objects stored, you know, on stairs and, you know, we got to talk about fire safety. Make sure you remind the workers that, you know, now more than ever that, you know, we're spending a lot of time in the home, check the smoke detectors, CO detectors, things like that for fresh batteries. Make sure that they are working, that they're within 10 years of the manufacture date or whatever the manufacturer recommends for replacing those items. Make sure you talk to your workers about those types of things. I'm such a geek. I know that my office is upstairs off of the main bedroom and it's like over the garage. I've got an office finished room over the garage. And I used to have, you know, it was a nursery, actually. I converted it from a nursery. I used to have a downstairs office. Now I've moved upstairs. But, you know, my kids are older now. And so this really was intended to be a den one day when we built this. But I had, when we had this as a nursery, I had one of those ladders. I have it right here, and it's right here in the closet that I wanted to hook onto the window because it's a second story and, you know, rappel down and climb down in the event of a fire where either downstairs or upstairs where we couldn't get down the stairs, we had to have a way out up here. So, you know, things like that. Are you talking to your workers about, hey, this is a great time to bring workplace safety, evacuation, fire protection, things like that to the home? And really bolster safety at home. I think this could really benefit safety at home for a lot of people working at home now. But maybe you talk to them about getting a working fire extinguisher or checking it. Maybe you offer some sort of discount. You partner with some supplier where if they choose to buy it for their home, they can get it at a discount. Do you provide a first aid kit for your employees to take home to use in the home in the event of a first aid incident or other emergencies in the home? All of these things, like, it gets a little weird, like, okay, what am I responsible for providing as an employer and what you know, is information I'm feeding them that is good to know. I'll let you decide. I don't want to get it too far into that in the, this episode. But as far as content and ideas for how I can communicate with remote workers, these are all great topics that you can put in front of them to get them to think about safety in their home. Also, along the lines of, you know, fire safety, it's also electrical safety, but, you know, most fires in the home are electrical in nature. The issue here is we've got all this equipment we've got to plug in now, right? Monitors, you know, speakers, the laptop, the light, and I got a lamp over here. And maybe we've got one surge protector and it's not rated for all of that. You know, make sure that you talk to them about not overloading circuits and also inspecting all of their cords. And do we provide a surge protector for them in the home? That gets weird because, you know, if their outlets that they're plugging into aren't rated for their amperage that, you know, the surge protector is rated for, you've got some issues there. So a great tip is to explain to employees how electrical outlets have a rating on them, not just the circuit, but the actual electrical outlet. A lot of folks may be shocked to learn that they go to their electrical panel at home, they have a 15 amp circuit, and then they have an outlet rated for higher amps than that, right? So a real quick search on the internet will lead you to discover that there are replacement outlets rated for 15 amps. There are some rated for 20 amps. There are GFCIs as well. And how often do I test those? So making sure that they've got the right amps. You could have, I know in my garage, I have a heavier gauge wire in the garage because I would plug in some power tools. I plug in battery chargers for these tools. So I wanted to beef up the electrical in my garage. So when we had it built, we ran heavier gauge wire. So there is a, you know, higher amperage circuit breaker there as well, right? So I needed to match the outlets to the circuit breaker. So the same goes true the other way, right? I wouldn't want to have a 15 amp circuit, but put a 20 amp outlet in there and then plug some heavy duty stuff into it. You could have some problems. You could risk overheating the circuit. It could fail and it could fail catastrophically. You could start a fire. So keep that in mind. Just educate the employees about, you know, work in the home. And if they ever did have to replace an outlet, let's say they did want to put a GFCI in where there was a regular outlet, and this would come in handy. They would now know, like, oh, I've got to go check the breaker to see what the amperage is on the breaker and match the outlet to that. Okay, makes sense? Look, practice general fire safety. That includes electrical safety as well. And I touched on it, but, you know, when I mentioned my ladder, rescue ladder, that I hook onto the sill, the window sill, and rappel down, the fact that most people don't have an evacuation plan in place at home is shocking, just especially if you have kids. And my kids, we used to ask them all the time, you get low, get out, get help. You know, there's three things they got to get. And we tried to keep it simple. Help, we defined what that was. We said, you go next door to so-and-so's house, and if they're not home, you go over to the secondary person's house. We all meet at the tree in the front yard. You know, that's the thing that we always told them. And they knew that. Every once in a while, I'd ask them, hey, what do you got to get if there's a fire, if the smoke alarm goes off? They would get low, get out, get help. So anyway, that's something you want to make sure you explain to them as well. You could send them some things to get them started to map out their plan and make it fun to do with the kids as well. Along with stress, make sure that you have employees that are actually observing working hours. They're not overworking. You know, this is easy to do when you're at home. You could just end up working all day and into the evening and getting up at night and going, oh, you know, I'm going to check my email. Make sure that they're aware of how often they're focused on work and thinking about work. This kind of helps by setting up a separate space. My office, once I leave the office for the day, you know, I don't go back in there. I don't have anything in here that I need really. So I can leave that space and not have to go back to it. And I don't see it really regularly throughout the day. because it's in its own little part of the house. But, you know, folks that have this common, this shared space, it's easy to get pulled back over there when you see that note on your desk that you are working on or your notebook. And you're like, oh, man, I just had a thought. I'm just going to go write this down real quick. And then next thing you know, you get online and you send somebody a quick chat and then you're sucked in for another hour and a half. So make sure that employees are not, you know, overworking. Keep in regular contact with them about how they're feeling, how they're doing at home. Look, these are some general tips. Again, it gets really strange, like, okay, what can we demand of them and require of them when they're in their home versus what is our responsibility? I will put together an episode soon dedicated to, all right, this is what OSHA says about remote workers. This is what you're responsible for. This is, you know, what about workers' comp? These are all great questions, and it's going to make for a great episode. But for this episode, I want to start us off, you know, thinking about, hey, how do we reach out to these workers? How do we support them in providing them really good information that they can use when they're setting up their workspace at home? I hope you got a lot of good tips out of this episode. I want to hear what tips you have. I know I've not covered everything. So I want to hear what tips you have. Head on over to the Safety Pro Podcast community, where I am going to drop a link to this episode and a little description, and we'll get some back and forth going over there on the Safety Pro community. If you're not yet a member of the Safety Pro Podcast community, well, this is a great opportunity for you to go over there. It's free to join. If you want to interact with other members and take advantage of some of the premium content like training videos, the live chats that are coming, then think about becoming a premium member. It's only $7 a month, $6.99 technically. It's a great place for safety pros to get together. We're building a really tight-knit group of safety professionals over there, and I would love to see you all over there participating in the conversation. So I'd love to see what you have to say about this topic and share your tips with others, and I will talk to you on the next Safety Pro Podcast.